Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. Do you like music? Do you know what happens in our brains when we listen to it? Can music help people heal? What about helping children learn, or people with learning disabilities and those with dementia? Well, some of the top names in neuroscience and music met recently in Washington to look at some of those questions.
Because we're so hardwired for music, they can learn so much more about how the brain functions by looking at music.
We're talking music, the brain, and your health this week on The American Cafe. Do you have a favorite song? Is there a tune that sticks in your mind from years ago? Did you know that for some people with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, music is being used to give them their ability to communicate again? Those are just some of the subjects covered here in Washington at the recent Music and the Mind program at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. The two-day program brought together world-renowned artists and neuroscientists to look at how music affects our brains, how we process it, where creativity comes from, and whether music can help children learn. The seminars were spearheaded by multiple Grammy-winning soprano Renee Fleming and Dr. Frances Collins, the head of the U.S. National Institutes of Health. Ms. Fleming told me the whole idea came out of a dinner party that she and Dr. Collins attended one night here in Washington.
We ended up performing together. It was great fun. It was an extraordinary gathering of justices, Ginsburg, Scalia, and Kennedy. And this was after a very contentious, troubling week. And so I would say it was to their credit. They all came and were ready to enjoy themselves, but it was a little bit tense. And so Dr. Collins got out his guitar and we started serenading and ultimately had a wonderful sing-along with everybody.
Out of that impromptu duet came discussions about partners. The Kennedy Center, for which Fleming serves as an artistic advisor at large, with the NIH. One of the ways researchers look at what happens in our brains when we hear or play music is using what's called a functional MRI. That looks at where blood flow increases in the brain. Dr. Daniel Levitin is a neuroscientist and the author of This Is Your Brain on Music. He told me that music is processed by one of the oldest parts of the human brain.
You've got rhythm, you've got pitch, variations in loudness, variations in timbre, that is tonal color, melody, harmony. These aspects of music are processed in separate parts of the brain, and then they have to work together to bind it together into a perception of what you just heard. And so it's a great workout for the brain to process music, more so than many other things that we do. And listening to music requires more areas of the brain than listening to speech, and older areas of the brain, which suggests that music might have preceded speech.
That workout can benefit our brains in many ways, including helping children develop, helping people manage pain, and helping those with developmental difficulties or brain damage recover. Dr. Charles Lim is a neuroscientist from the University of California at San Francisco. He studies creativity, and he told me that students learn better when they are creating than when they are just memorizing material.
So when we think about educating a child, for example, or policies that impact education across the country, to me it's a very short-sighted approach to think that creativity somehow, or the arts at large, could somehow be extracted or removed or subtracted from this entire endeavor of human behavior without any impacts. For sure, we've learned that the creative brain is unique, and in my mind, that uniqueness doesn't, you're not just born with it, you have to exercise in developing it over time. And every artist that I've worked with told me that the way they got to be the great musicians that they were was by practicing their creativity.
Singer-songwriter and musician Ben Folds is a longtime advocate for music therapy. He says he's fascinated by the way the discipline can help people regain life functions that they have lost.
But I'm particularly interested in the idea that you could as a layman, hijack new sort of neurohighways in your mind in order to get things back. Let's say you've lost your speech, either through a stroke or like with Gabby Giffords, and that was a gunshot wound. A lot of what got her speech back, as I understand, was music therapy.
Dr. Francis Collins, the head of the National Institutes of Health, says that more testing and clinical trials will help bring music therapy into partnership with other disciplines.
I think we already have seen lots of interesting examples where music therapy added to other approaches, whether it's to a neurological problem or to cancer or to somebody with chronic pain, can provide a significant path forward. I think, though, in order to convince what sometimes is a skeptical medical establishment about something of this sort, we have to have the data to show that this actually does improve the outcome.
Renee Fleming said that music therapy also played a big role in the recovery of a wounded veteran, Captain Luis Avila, a U.S. Army soldier who was severely wounded by an IED in Afghanistan.
He was injured so badly and had 6 years and 70 operations, but only regained speech in the last year. And music therapy, he credits, with an enormously quick recovery in the last year. So much progress has been made. And he and his wife make a very powerful statement about keeping the NEA, which funds a lot of this work at Walter Reed. And
if you would like to learn more about music and the mind, you can log on to the blog Sound Health. Our thanks to the folks who helped with this story, including Renee Fleming, Dr. Charles Lim, Dr. Dan Levitin, Ben Folds, and Dr. Francis Collins. If you would like to comment or have questions, check out our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. Until next time, I'm David Byrd. Thanks for listening.